If you'd like to receive this podcast early and without ads, consider becoming a member of the DSR Network. Listeners to this show can receive 25% off the membership price. In addition to an ad-free listening experience and early access, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows via our private member feed, enhanced show notes for selected podcasts, and an invitation to join the DSR Slack community. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and enter code NOJOKE to receive 25% off. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code NOJOKE. This offer is limited and will expire on Saturday, April 6th, so act now. And thank you very much for your support.
This is the Daily Blast from the New Republic, produced and presented by the DSR Network. I'm your host, Greg Sargent.
This week, Special Counsel Jack Smith made a surprise move in his prosecution of Donald Trump for stealing classified documents. He called on the judge in the case, Eileen Cannon, to make a quick decision on a key matter. This is a risky play that openly flaunts Smith's frustration with Cannon on a range of rulings that seem to be putting the thumb on the scale for Trump. So what's Cannon up to here? Today we're talking to Philip Rotner, a longtime lawyer who has written a series of pieces for The Bulwark, arguing that we should not delude ourselves. Cannon is killing the case against Trump right before our very eyes. Rotner argues that Smith should try to get Cannon removed because her interventions for Trump are likely to get worse. Welcome, Philip.
Oh, thanks for having me.
First, let's talk about the dispute that triggered Jack Smith's response. Trump's lawyers are arguing that he can't be prosecuted for stealing national security documents because he used the Presidential Records Act to convert them into his own property. That's absurd, but we'll get to that in a bit. I mean, the important point is Cannon then asked both sides for instructions to the jury on how the Presidential Records Act might impact the charge against Trump that he took, quote unquote, unauthorized possession of the documents. And that claim is central to proving Trump violated the Espionage Act. So, Philip, what does it tell us that Cannon did this?
It tells us that she's taking an unserious argument very seriously. The unserious argument is that somehow the Presidential Records Act, which makes it very clear, by the way, that government documents are not personal documents and has no basis in a trial which is being brought under the Espionage Act, which is a criminal trial that has to do with Trump's taking and retaining and lying about and hiding classified government documents.
Right. And the argument that Trump's lawyers are making turns the original purpose of the Presidential Records Act on its head, right? I mean, it was passed in the aftermath of Watergate to do the opposite of what Trump and his lawyers want. That is, it was passed to ensure that the government retains possession of presidential records, which is to say it's meant to protect the public interest from private corruption. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. The Presidential Records Act was not passed to give a president the power to take classified government documents with him or even non-classified government documents. It was exactly the opposite. It was passed in order to make sure that those documents were kept by the government in the archives where they belong, and that presidents, when they leave office, take only truly personal documents with them.
Right. And so if I understand this correctly, Trump's lawyers aren't even saying he explicitly invoked the Presidential Records Act to take possession of these private documents, right? They're saying it can merely be inferred. So they're trying to have it both ways. Can you kind of explain the argument that Trump's lawyers are making?
In the papers filed by Jack Smith in opposition to the judge's order with regard to the jury instructions, Smith makes it clear that this is something that was thought of well into the prosecution. It was not a claim that was made at the beginning. It was something that was actually brought to Trump by outside advisors saying, you can make this claim. And that's when we started hearing it. There was never any act that was that took place, either when he was in office or as he was leaving office, that would indicate that these were his personal documents or even that he considered them his personal documents. In fact, his actions were to the contrary, because at the point when he was asked or required to start returning documents, government documents, he started returning government documents. The problem was that he was returning only a handful of the government documents and not all of them. And he was retaining possession of and hiding a trove of other documents, which he refused to return to the government.
I mean, the argument is baffling, right? And it sort of suggests, as you've written, that Cannon is basically a MAGA judge in the tank for Trump. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, there we all know that there's been this series of bizarre orders. It started out with the special master order, which was slapped down by the appellate court, the 11th Circuit, in language that to us sounds polite, but to judges is almost fighting words. They called it a radical reordering of the case. They said it violates bedrock separation of powers limitations. Then she issued an order to reveal the identity of witnesses. Interestingly enough, that order was not so that Trump and his lawyers could know the identity of the witnesses. They knew who the witnesses were. This was to make it public. This was Trump's attempt to paint a target on the backs of these potential witnesses, and the judge was letting him do it. Then came the order that suggests that she takes another unserious argument seriously, and that is that the Espionage Act, which has been the subject of prosecutions for 100 years, including as recently as last month, is so vaguely worded that you can't have a prosecution under it. And then finally came this bogus request for jury instructions. What that suggests to me is that Judge Cannon has a game plan. And that game plan is designed for the purpose of making sure that Trump is acquitted. And I'll take it a step further, and that is, that's one that she can fairly easily accomplish. She's got it within her powers to do it. The only thing she has to do now, she's got one task, that's to keep Jack Smith away from the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. So her latest decision is the decision on the jury instructions. She gave the lawyers a choice of two, what she called competing scenarios, neither one of which has any legal standing at all. One is that they could instruct the jury that Trump had exclusive right to unilaterally declare that all of these documents, including confidential classified documents, are his personal property. Two is let the jury decide. Now, letting the jury decide may sound like kind of a nice solution, but it's not. This is not a fact question. This is a legal question. And not only that, but letting the jury decide puts Smith in a terrible position, because it means he's got to show uncleared jurors classified documents if he wants to get them into evidence, and have the jury decide whether they're Trump's personal property. That's just, it's unheard of. And that's another situation that if Smith gets to the 11th Circuit, they will slap that down.
Yep. But I think if I understand the arguments you've been making correctly, the critical thing is that she's doing all this kind of shrewdly in a way that won't create the possibility of reversal on appeal later, or the possibility of her getting removed from the case, and just kind of drags things out in keeping with Trump's hope for a delay. Can you explain how that method of hers works?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. This is interesting. There's a real irony here. And the irony here is that at this point in the case, if Judge Cannon wants to get Trump acquitted, her best route to that is to do nothing. She does not want, at this point of the case, to give Smith an entree to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, because they're the ones who can kick her off the case. If she's smart, she'll agree with Smith in his opposition to this jury instruction order. She'll retract it. She'll say, you know, you're right. I'm going to decide it as a matter of law and then maybe put it off. But her whole game plan now, in my opinion, is keep Jack Smith out of the 11th Circuit. And his whole game plan now, in my opinion, is to find a ground to get to the 11th Circuit. Because if he doesn't, she will enter a judgment of acquittal that he can't appeal because of the doctrine of double jeopardy, and he will lose his case.
She could essentially toss out any kind of conviction at the end of all the proceedings. Is that right? How does that work?
The way it works is she can, going forward, she can make every ruling in Smith's favor, get to the trial. All she has to do is impanel a jury, let Jack Smith put his case on, at the close of the prosecution's case, invite Trump to make a motion for a judgment of acquittal on the ground that the evidence is insufficient to support a conviction, and then grant the motion. If she does that, that motion is not appealable. Jeopardy will have attached when the jury was sworn in, and a verdict will have been entered, and the doctrine of double jeopardy will protect Donald Trump from ever being tried on those charges again.
It's amazing. And in the interim, you alluded to this, but she's also slow walking the case, which plays into his hands as well, right? Because as we know, if Trump is elected president, if she can delay the trial until after the election and he wins, he will simply order the Department of Justice to drop the case against him. She's kind of slow walking the case in a way that feeds into that strategy as well, right?
Absolutely. And because that takes the burden off her back if Trump wins. Now, she could just as easily, though, set an early trial date, get it over with, let this case go to trial, impanel the jury, let Smith put on his evidence, and then issue a judgment of acquittal on the ground that the evidence is insufficient before the defense even puts on its case without no input from the jury, and case over. Smith loses, Trump wins.
Is it crazy to look at how she's handled the case thus far and conclude that really the fix is kind of in? She is going to look for a way to get him off. Is that conspiratorial or is it reasonable?
It is not crazy. It's reasonable. It's not certain. But look at it from the point of view of balancing risks. So there's the risk that Smith would try to get her taken off the case, go to the 11th Circuit, find a way to get there, ask them to take her off the case, and fail. That's one side. The risk of not going to the 11th Circuit is that now the entire case is in Judge Cannon's hands. She can make it come out any way she wants it to come out. So my viewpoint is that this is a race now. Smith has got to act. He's got to get to the 11th Circuit or he will lose, full stop.
You're saying that he should try to get her removed. And is there grounds for thinking that that could work?
Yes. You can get a judge removed by showing that there's reasonable ground for that a reasonable observer would conclude that the judge is biased in the direction of of one of the parties. In this case, it would be of the defendant, Trump. It's not routine. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens. And And there's enough here, given that history that we talked about earlier of bad rulings, there's enough here to give the 11th Circuit a handle to do just that if it's inclined to do that. It's not a guarantee, but it is guaranteed that if he doesn't try to do it, if Smith doesn't try to do it, if he doesn't get to the 11th Circuit, then the whole thing is in Judge Cannon's hands.
Right. And so what does it tell us that Smith hasn't pulled this trigger yet? Is there reason to think that he doesn't agree with that assessment? Does he not see the risk of continuing with her in the same terms you do? How do you read Smith's approach right now?
So I'm sure that he is fully aware of the risks that he's running. And I think he's taking a little bit of a risky course. I think he would like to, if he could, wait until the next crazy order comes in and use that as a pretext to get to the 11th Circuit and seek her removal. My fear is that if she's smart, she's not going to issue another crazy order. That just gives him his ticket to the 11th Circuit. There's no reason for her to need to do that. So that means that he's got to recognize now that there's a sense of urgency. I believe that in his recent response filed, I think yesterday or today, to Judge Cannon's order about jury instructions, he seems to have tumbled on the time urgency here. He has used the phrasing that it's vitally important for the court to act promptly. He said that it cannot be deferred. So what he's trying to do is set up a situation where inaction gives him the ticket that he needs to get to the 11th Circuit. Smart, maybe a little late, but my guess is that he's moving very deliberately in that direction.
So basically, Smith is trying to offer Cannon a tough choice, right? On the one hand, he's asking her to act promptly on the jury instructions question. And of course, prompt action works against what Trump wants and against what Eileen Cannon wants, I guess. Or on the other, she doesn't act promptly on the jury instruction question. And that gives Smith a pretext to go to the 11th Circuit and try to get her removed. Is that fair?
That's exactly fair. And here's Smith's nightmare scenario. And the nightmare scenario is that she does act quickly on it without delay, and she rules in his favor. Because then his path to the 11th Circuit is blocked. And if he's going to go to the 11th Circuit, he's going to have to bring up all this past stuff that he hasn't moved on up till now. He's not going to have the entree. So it'll be really interesting to see what she does. And I'm not going to be too sure that she's going to come out wrong on this. She may make the right order on this, because if she wants to keep control of the case, that's how she would do it.
If I understand you correctly, you're saying that Eileen Cannon is killing Jack Smith's case against Donald Trump right out in broad daylight.
Yes, with 1,000 cuts.
Has Jack Smith just screwed up in some sense? Should he have acted on some of these other baffling and crazy rulings earlier?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. You know, Jack Smith is smarter than I am. He's more experienced than I am. And I'm not going to say that he's screwed up. I think he knows what he's doing. And I certainly hope he knows what he's doing, but I have a fairly high degree of confidence in him. But remember, everything about this case, everything has taken too long. From the decision to bring it, the investigation took too long, everything has taken too long.
I mean, the broader story here is that Trump just continues to put himself above the law in every conceivable way. And it looks as if he has a lot of help from the judiciary. I mean, the Supreme Court is now delaying the January 6th case. which could also play into his hands. And I know that some people say that the Supreme Court kind of opted for a bit of a middle ground, but functionally, everything keeps coming up Trump.
Yeah, and I think that there's this thing in the back of the minds of the whole judiciary that Trump is too big to jail. That they have to bend over backwards at every stage, and that their every move they make is going to be given not only legal gloss but a political gloss. And I think that there's a high degree of insecurity that seems to be kicking in throughout all of these cases against Trump.
Well, that is an extremely grim picture you paint there. Philip Rotner, thanks so much for coming on with us today.
Thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Folks, don't miss two new pieces up at TNR.com. Ryan Kearney arguing that America's worst airport deserves the name of America's worst president. You can probably guess who that is. And Alex Shepard arguing that our entire society is becoming addicted to sports gambling. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Daily Blast with me, your host, Greg Sargent. The Daily Blast is a New Republic podcast and is produced by Riley Fessler and the DSR Network.